There's concern on the flood and earthquake-prone West Coast as its ageing civil defence controllers retire with no locals to replace them. The Grey and Buller district mayors say their regions are vulnerable when another major weather event strikes and completely exposed if the Alpine Fault ruptures. A new report has found that there are insufficient named and qualified civil defence controllers in the region. A group of six emergency controllers from outside the West Coast are to be appointed as civil defence emergency controllers as a backstop. But if and when a major civil defence emergency occurs, the region's top CD leadership would be elsewhere. Grey District Mayor Tanya Gibson and Buller District Mayor Jamie Klein are with us. Welcome both. Thanks for your time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tanya, first, can you explain? This seems to be pretty much a crisis situation of its own.
Well, it isn't a crisis at this stage, and we have put in preventative measures with the appointed controllers from around the South Island at this stage. But we really do need to start getting it out there and getting this roadshow going and recruiting new people. And I think it's the same in a lot of industries, but this one's very important. And if something does happen, we do have people in our community that we do have that will stand up and won't see us stuck at the moment. But we really need to get some urgent planning in place.
We'll come to the backup at the moment, but let's just talk about how we've got to this. Perhaps explain what is needed, especially in a very disparate region like yours, quite some distances to cover and not necessarily many heavy population bases. What do you need and how have you got to where things are at now?
Well, at the moment, we need people to come forward and put their hand up to train as local controllers and group controllers. So local controllers are locally based, but if it does escalate to the next level and becomes a declared emergency, then they may become group controllers for the whole area. So I guess over time, we have had a lot of people retiring. It's a really big a responsibility to have on your shoulders. So we really need people with good leadership skills and people skills that can stand up to do this role that are dedicated to their community.
Some of the retirees or getting near retirement at the moment, I think there's a Department of Conservation boss, so that's someone who knows the region well. There's a former policeman as well. And what sort of skill set typically do people bring to the job? And second, do they tend to stay in it for quite a while?
They are very passionate people that we have had over time, and it will be required for the people that do stand up. So again, people skills, leadership skills, really mature personalities that can connect and certainly multitask and be very calm under pressure.
The formal review last year came out with a raft of recommendations to review the structure. Can you talk to me about some of the concerns it raised, and then we'll talk about where you're heading?
Well, just some of the concerns that are raised is that we, you know, we do have a retiring set of controllers, and we need to train more people, and we need to be aware of that. We need to get it out to the community. And, you know, as mayors, we are at the head of when something goes wrong in a civil defence emergency. And, you know, we have got all those studies with the Alpine Fault, and we do know that at some stage that is going to go. So, you know, we need to be properly prepared, and that was brought out in that. So, I mean, we have appointed those people from around the country, but if the Alpine Fault does go, they will be required because it's going to affect most of the country or the South Island. So, you know, those are things that the review brought up, and, you know, we need to get better prepared and make our community aware of what we need.
Can you explain what the controllers do? First local emergency and then, when it's wider, the group controller. Just explain what their responsibilities are. We're probably all too familiar with it, actually, with events in recent years, but just remind us.
Well, when the before we declare an emergency, if we just have a localised emergency, and we have seen it with the flooding, the controllers stand up and we are able to be better prepared. So they are communicating with the national body, and with the normally we are in a situation where we're looking at least two or three areas on the coast, so communicating with the other regions. But when one of the mayors does declare, we have to, they become a group controller, and it depends where that, what happens and where it's based and who can stand up at the time, but they will be leading the regional response from the regional coordination centre throughout the whole coast. So that is, you know, directing all the services, emergency services, fire, ambulance, civil defence groups and whoever else needs to come on board the councils. We do need to train some controllers in our own councils, and we do need some from outside. So it's about striking that balance with controllers, but we do need externals.
Well, let's explain what these six external controllers are now, appointed from around the South Island. Where are they going to be, And I guess the obvious question, what happens if an event happens, particularly perhaps an earthquake event or a flood event for that matter, and they're not actually on site or nearby? What will happen, Tanya?
Well, there have been enough pointed from around the country that need to stand up. And with, as I say, a flooding event, we do have time to prepare normally at the moment. So we have them scattered all around the South Island at the moment. But, you know, in the event of an alpine fault at this stage, we will be calling on members of our community that had retired and people that have the skills that we know of. But we need to get more prepared and get more people up and running.
So they're in Christchurch, Dunedin, Nelson. Where are they?
Yes, they're around the country, Southland, Canterbury, Selwyn, so around all those areas.
And the main barrier, of course, is that, you know, the Alps in the middle of the island. If you had an emergency that affected road access, or you know, what would be the plan to get them? Would the immediate plan to be to get them to the coast where that's possible?
Where it is possible, but a lot of it could be done by via, you know, the way we work now. But if we're cut off, we really need to get them in here. So it would be via, certainly via ear.
Because the comms may well be down in various instances, right? Okay.
If the alpine fault goes, the comms are going to be down.
Yes. Yeah. And did you say that if there is a major earthquake event, and that's the big one, but if were there to be a major earthquake event, those who are currently retiring have committed to being there if needed for the foreseeable?
Yes, we have. And we do have a lot of backup support in industry. We have Doc have Sims training, and we have other in the mining industry and so forth that we could call on as well that have stood up in emergencies.
Let's bring in Jamie Klein. He's Mayor of the Buller District. We last spoke, of course, when you had, unfortunately, Jamie, another flood event. And I know you've got a lot on your mind when it comes to civil defence and parts of the district you're responsible for. What do you make of where you're at with the civil defence planning at the moment? How vulnerable?
Oh, look, it's definitely concerning, you know, because you can't underestimate the value of local knowledge. And so we've been certainly very well served by our local controllers who are, you know, who are have resigned, really. They literally resigned the day of the February floods. That was when their resignations were to take effect, and they very fortunately agreed to carry on and run those responses. But yeah, like, you know, we have been well supported by out of district for the scale of the declarations and that we've had over the past 8 or 9 months. But local knowledge is absolutely critical to the to understanding exactly what needs to happen, especially in widespread districts and the nuances that happen, you know, across the district.
Look, it can get down to which bridge has gone down, right? It can get down to which isolated community is going to be affected. It can get down to where the logistics and transport routes are. It really does need to be local, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It gets down to, you know, knowing who's got a digger that's likely to be capable of doing, you know, doing on what side of a slip it might be on and things like that. So, you know, that local knowledge is important. Not to say that the imported controllers can't be well supported by local knowledge within the SIM structure operating the various functions in the Emergency Operations Centre. And that certainly has been what's happened in the responses we've had. But yeah, if they can have the person at the top all over and well known in the district, that really helps. And it also helps build public confidence as well. And I think you can't underestimate the importance of the public confidence role that a good controller has as well, and being a sort of a known face in the community, and the reassurance that gives people as well.
That's everything, actually. I shouldn't say it's everything, but it's incredibly important. We've seen that in past events, that when a crisis happens, people look to the one or the two leaders, often kitted out in their official gear, and they communicate the whole sense of control and response, right? It's really important to the psychology of it. What I'm curious of some of the other responsibilities of the job, and perhaps why we've not seen others come through. I know that many volunteer organisations face the same challenge. People are incredibly busy and have a lot of commitments. But what are the other operational responsibilities that might perhaps be stopping people? I mean, this isn't just for the immediate response, is it? Is there also an ongoing responsibility with training, resourcing? What else does it take?
Yeah, so there are significant training obligations to be certified as a controller. So there's no doubt about that. And I think there's the unknown around the time period that the deployment, or, you know, when a declaration is made you know, that may be required. For instance, in July, I think we were in declaration for, I'm not sure exactly, a couple of weeks or something. So you know, their business as usual jobs kind of go out the window while they're in a response, which is a pretty big ask for a voluntary role. And then, of course, there's the statutory obligation. So once the mayor declares a state of emergency, there's significant statutory legal responsibility passes to the controller. You know, they're effectively giving them the power to, you know, effectively suspend people's private property rights, ask people to leave their houses, compulsory evacuations. Those kinds of things are all within the realm of a controller. So it's quite an onerous responsibility. But again, there's a certain set of people that thrive on that and are well skilled and capable of doing it. And there's plenty of those in our local community.
So what's the challenge in getting them to step up to the role?
I think they just need to be well supported. And that is, you know, something that that West Coast Emergency Management, you know, part of the recommendations out of the review identified some areas where that can be improved and enhanced in terms of governance and support and training across the group. The West Coast has renewed our relationship agreements between the councils to ensure that the group or the West Coast considers itself as a team when it comes to civil defence. So, you know, sharing of resources across the districts, things like that. So I think it's just important that controllers feel supported and that they have the backing of not only group or joint committee, but also from NEMA down from Wellington as well.
Are people just burning out?
I think so. It's a busy world out there. There's a lot of obligations there, and I think it is. It's just about supporting people and making sure they're equipped and supported for the role that we're asking them to carry out.
How many do you have for the whole West Coast right now? And how many would you need in a major event?
Right now, I think there's around about six that are available on the West Coast. Ideally, we have about 16, and I think the aim with the backups that we've agreed to from Canterbury and outside of the region brings us to about 12. So we've kind of got 12 on call, and ideally we'd have 16. Because when you declare, it's a 24-hour operation, right? So, you know, ideally your controller is only on shift for 8 hours. So you'd need a few people to cover those 24-hour periods. And again, local experience, again, from both of my declarations here is that, you know, the first 24 hours aren't too bad because your local controller steps in and cracks on with it. But it's when the event continues on into, you know, 36, 72 hours that you start to run out of steam, and that's when you need to make sure you've got that depth available to us.
Has there been attrition over time? Have we had like a reduction in people capable of taking on the top role, the top response role, over time till you were left with a couple of really senior people but saying, actually, you know, time's up for us? Has it been a gradual erosion?
I think it's been gradual. And I think the other thing that's changed is I think emergency management has got a little bit more professional. So I think it was... that, you know, the controller role was perhaps, although they were fulfilling technically the same role, it wasn't seen quite as professional and, I don't know, as much in the way of reporting lines and things like that as what there is now.
So is there more bureaucracy, so now, more paperwork involved?
I think there is, but I think probably because we're aiming for a better outcome and preparedness and, you know, those connections into central government, you know, the NEMA activation at the national level and things like that is all getting much more tighter and ideally we're getting a better outcome as a result of that.
Look, no one wants to think about the Alpine Fault, but you have to, because we know it's, it is capable of going, and we know that its impact, and Tanya alluded to this, it'll be profound on the West Coast, but it will affect the entire South Island, a good chunk of the North Island. And you made that point that there will be local responses everywhere. And is that particularly what is on your mind, Jamie, that for all the backup is wonderful from other parts of the South Island, other parts of the country, it's rule number one of civil defence, isn't it? You have to be ready to look after yourself. And is that the one that's really exercising your mind, that or another major earthquake?
Yeah, I mean, I think AF8 is the one that concerns everybody, because you don't get any warning for that, right? Well, we've had our warning, which is that it's coming. So it could be any day, any time, which is quite different to, say, a flood scenario where usually you've got some, at least days warning. So yeah, so that is the concern, is to how external controllers would be able to, you know, be available to us in that kind of scenario. But in saying that, you know, West Coast is pretty good at getting through, and so long as there is some local level controller capability, and certainly there also exists plenty of experience within some of the larger employment organisations, like the mines, where you have lots of managers that are used to dealing with teams and providing good direction. You know, all of that capability, certainly we've called upon in our responses during this past year, and that's the same scenario as what we would go for in an AFA situation.
I wanted to ask about that because you've got a large farming community, obviously, on the coast, and that carries its own challenges. Again, their care for their animals, a priority for them individually. But you have got some quite big organisations, be it mines. What sort of relationship do you have with some of the sizeable employers there to say, hey, in the name of, you know, community service, but also in your own interest, when something happens, can you identify with us? Can you cut some slack for us to be able to identify and train some people for these roles? Like, what sort of cooperation are you getting?
Oh, look, absolutely. And those are the sort of conversations that I think we'll probably be seeking to advance further in terms of like formal controller training. But in terms of support to emergency operations centres, for instance, BT Mining, we have a very strong relationship at a council level with them anyway. And they absolutely stood up, particularly in February. February event for us was very much locally led for the first 24 hours. Because it kind of caught everyone a little bit by surprise. And so, you know, BT Mining effectively staffed our emergency operations centre a lot with assistance from our council staff and that as well. So, so those relationships are strong, and you know, obviously they'll play a key role in being able to respond.
You mentioned something else too, or it occurs to me. You're retiring controllers, I'm not sure which of the two mayoral districts I'm talking about, one from the police and one from DOC. And I'm wondering what's happened to the resourcing of those two obvious sources of skilled, knowledgeable, semi-trained and advanced staff. Has there been an impact on their staffing or on their workloads that means you haven't had hands put up that you might have expected previously?
I don't think so. I mean, those guys have been out of those roles for quite a long time now. They're in civilian roles for quite a long time, but that skill set in the background is what makes them ideal for controller functions. So I guess that's the thing. I think it's the likes of the ex-police and the like sort of have that that training around situational awareness and being able to give good briefings, deal with multi-channel information coming at them from all directions and distill it down to an action sort of thing. So I guess that's the skill set that naturally fits with the controller role. But as to why there's less of them around, I don't know. It's probably just a natural attrition thing.
Tonya, if I can come back to you, I'm not sure if you're talking with other colleagues in local government, but I imagine this isn't the only district where this is an issue. It has its particular challenges as the coast, as we said, because it is so spread out of population, small rater base, which you both are very well aware of, I'm sure, when it comes to resources, and you know, quite interesting and challenging geography as well. But are you sort of, canary in the coal mine would be a terrible example, but are you sort of a... one of likely to be a variety of places around the country where, you know, you really need people to come forward for these roles?
Well, I think we definitely are. But I think, you know, what we've seen even over the last sort of 6 months to a year, like we have had quite a few very quick events. Like we've had some great weather, but then all of a sudden things, you know, like it's very short, very sharp, apart from the Buller when they had the very big one and it was long. But we've seen lots of bursts and events around the country, but, you know, the West Coast is always, and the Alpine Fault is just a huge awareness of people. It's, I think as well, we're taking up the role that we need to step up and actually get an information campaign out there. And that's what we've, developed with the roadshow model. And we actually need to inform the community and make sure that they do know that these roles are needed and do a bit of a media and a campaign around there to actually let them know, because people don't know what they don't know. So we need to commit to that. And that's what we have done and do this roadshow and get the information out.
What support do they get time-wise? Is there any kind of financial remuneration for their time? you know, sell, apart from the obvious service to a community at a time of greatest need, sell it to someone who's thinking, oh, that's going to be a challenge, but you know, what help will I get?
Well, they do get the supported training and they get all their costs covered, and they do, you know, have that manner of standing up for their community. But, you know, it's I think that we do probably need to look in the future on how things are funded and look at those roles and should they be paid, because it is a huge responsibility. So, I mean, those discussions are already happening. But at the moment, you know, we acknowledge that it is a huge responsibility, but we have people in our community that, you know, that do fit those roles, and you know, they love to stand up and, you know, put themselves forward. But we do have to acknowledge as well, and as Jamie was saying before, when there is a big event and you're taking, or, you know, people's property rights and getting them to move out of their houses, it's a huge responsibility for anybody. And we have seen that sometimes when there is an event, you know, if we prepare too early and nothing happens, you get criticism. And if you, you know, when the big event does happen, and, you know, if you, some people, there's always people that are upset. So, you know, you've got such that load on your shoulders, as we have as mayors and councils, you know, of, you know, trying to do our best for our community. But there's always people that are affected, and it's a very upsetting situation normally. So, you know, we need those people that have those skills to be able to deal with that as well. But, you know, making sure they have the best support they can.
Thanks both. All the best with it. Tanya Gibson's the Grey District Mayor. Bulla District Mayor is Jamie Klein.